are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Welcome to Culture Zine Radio. Tonight we're doing Inside the Game with our special guest, Mr. 187, Big Hutch from Buffalo. Should be coming on in a second. While we're waiting for him, I definitely want y'all to check this out. This is actually something my man Billy Johnson asked me to play, so I'm going to bang this for him, and Hutch will be on when we get back.
And we're all in the front room. One's in the back. On three, we hit the door. You got the stairs. Ready? Go.
They trying to give you a murder rap, and you ain't even like that. Yo, 30, they deserve to get this.
Check this out. When I sit down and write in sight, put the mic at home, make sure my beats are loud and bold and cold. 187, that is my name, making it simple and plain. Here's to rearrange and change the things that I couldn't do in the past. Don't be surprised when you got a shot. Get up, you perpetrator. That one was just for you. I'm going to leave the ESC for Mango without a clue. But if you say the wrong thing, I wash your mouth with soap. So, it's not the answer, no. I'm not a cancer, no. I'm not a hero of zero, but a Leo in stereo. If this is not a demo, okay, I say go back. Keep cutting the flex and go back.
Fingerprints ain't nothing without the murder weapon. Keep stepping. Homicide try to sweat, but we let them have it. You can see the fear through their teeth. Treat them like Rolaids to give them some relief.
I feel action. Speak louder words and verbs and adjectives. I live the life that gives and gives. Not who's first, second, or third. Not he said or she said or what you heard, nerd. Because when you live like that, your life is mango. In other words, your life is all singles up. I'm not a sucker. Always go for my power loss. That's all I'm from the start. Sometimes that's even higher than the others believe. I'm not a doctor, not a poet, I don't have a degree. Not arrogant, eager, too so cold. I'm the epitome. Dictate, recline, keep records in line. Transform to another world as I recite these rhymes. 187, each part as it comes, and I don't have to brag about the size of my gun.
As notorious. Brothers gotta learn hip hop, anger, ranges, and size and stuff. Yo, flee to another position, my contact chaos and the homie G.
187, break it back, back, home of my crew. Back chin in my pocket, and I'm getting loose. Cause I'm taking out pockets, causing bodily form. Making moves to improve as I begin to brainstorm. I'm not a period, not taking no crap. Last time I tried to do me, cold, got a back slap. Cause if I was my name, sometimes I'm insane. And if I get too mad, I have to rearrange. No position, that's an empty, that's the way it should be. I get over, I do terminology. That's comprehensive resistance. That's evidently not related to the style that you hear every day. These boys, these torn and torn and torn. Why the other suckers are these fresh? I'm enjoying what I'm doing and ruin anyone's hope for my position. Tell them, KMG, they on a mission.
They're on a mission to keep wishing you can't come off. 187, you're menacing your own mind. So take heed and proceed with caution when you're wrong.
Welcome back to Culture Zine Radio. doing Inside the Game. Tonight we got a very special guest, Mr. 187 of himself. How you doing, brother? Hello?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not 187. This is Terrence Evans.
Hold on.
Yo, what's up, Witty?
What's up, fam?
What's up, fam? What's going on with you?
Man, you know, I had to do that for my man Billy told me today, you know, when I hit him up, he said, man, you got to play that murder rap for me. So I had to do
that's
that
big.
So, man, let's get into this, man. I know we've been friends for a long time, so we're going to just talk about like we always talk. But y'all got to understand this cat, man. This dude has sold millions of records, produced some of the biggest artists in this generation's history. And to be honest with you, man, this is my brother. I've been knowing this brother some years. But tell me how y'all got y'all deal with Eric. How'd that go down?
Oh, well, you know, back in 1988, we were working on our demo, Living Like Hustlers. And we had passed our demo on to Gomac, which is Laidlaw's brother. And at the time, he was, you know, like the fifth Beatle, the silent member of N.W.A. as a writer, as a you know, enforcer, everything, you know, back then. And Gomac shot our demo tape to Laidlaw, and at this time, they were just starting to build Ruthless roster, and they were looking for some groups, and you know, Laidlaw passed it to Easy and Dr. Dre. Easy and Dr. Dre heard it, and the rest was history, you know. That was like late 88, early 89. And finally when they wrapped up the Easy Does It tour, which, you know, was the defining moment for them. At that point, they put us up next. I think No One Can Do It Better had just dropped, and then Michelle A was about to drop, and J.J. Fad had already did everything conceivable from getting nominated to Grammys and whatever and all that. So Eric was trying to get a group that kind of mirrored N.W.A., but because he wanted two hardcore super groups on the label, and we kind of mirrored that, so we were exactly what he looked for. So he put us on, and, you know, 1989, Murder Rap came out.
Now that went number one, right?
Yeah. We actually have two number ones off Living Like Hustlers album, which we have Untouchables and Murder Rap, the first single, which was one of the two few videos that got banned on MTV. I think it was us and Luke who got banned on MTV. Yeah.
I'm gonna go to a caller, and then we're gonna go back and talk about what you did on that record and who was on it and all those things. But then we're gonna do a live caller right now. 3297, hey. You on?
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm good. You on with me and Hutch? Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm one of your Canadian listeners. Congratulations on the show. And I'm just going to sit back and listen, and it sounds really good so far, man. Keep up the good
work.
You
don't have no questions for Hutch?
Not yet. Give me a little bit, and I'll hit you back.
All right, brother. Hold on. Stay with us, man. Don't go nowhere. Stay with us.
I won't.
Let your friends know we on, so we definitely want to do this so we can get you guys some answers on how this works, all right?
All right.
All right, let's try this one. 9952.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Cosmo the Comedian. What up?
What's up, man? You on with Big Hutch. How you doing, fam?
What's up, Hutch? What's up with you, baby? How you been?
Man, you know, on the grind, you know. How about yourself? What's good?
Man, I'm up here checking y'all out. I had to call in since you are like a kind of a legend in hip-hop. Everybody knows who you are. I just want to know what you was up to. I had a couple of questions. What you up to? When you coming out again? And I want to ask you a question about the state of hip-hop.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, now
that's
it's interesting. Now the show's interesting. Well, you know what I'm up to is I'm working on my solo album right now. It's called Cole 187, The Black Godfather. Which features, I mean, anybody you can name on the album is going to be on there. Basically, you know, as far as the West Coast is concerned, and we even sprinkle some Southern cats and whatnot. You know,
are you still working with Tony Touch?
Yeah, actually, I am.
Yeah, you know, I met you in the studio with him before.
Oh, that's big. That's big. Yeah. So yeah, I'm always working with Touch all the time. So you know, yeah. And then we have, you know, the anniversary record, the 25th anniversary record coming out next year. 25 years of hustling for Above the Law. That's coming out. And just to, you know, developing things, you know, coming off the hit record, the Compton record, you know what I'm saying? Coming off that, and then touring soon. And the present state of hip hop, well,
Before you answer it, it seems like that nowadays all these brothers, this is all they have to offer in hip hop. Hip hop didn't start like that. None of these guys are killers. None of these guys are doing none of this stuff that they're doing, but they're just enhancing it so much that we see it in the schools. We see the result in jails. We see everything.
Right.
To me now, all hip-hop did was help fill the jails, to me.
Well, exactly, because here's the thing. And let me go a little bit deeper, because I'm a little bit deeper than a hip-hop record. When you look at society as a whole, as far as the way they brand things and the way they sell concepts to people, it's easy for people to have the type of goals of do whatever it takes, by all means necessary, get yours. Now, that can mean a lot of things. That can mean committing crimes, such as robbing people, selling drugs, doing all that. Now, when you add to that by saying, by almost making that it's fashionable to do all these things, of course, the crime rates are going to go up. And when you have less opportunity than you've already had, you know, one-to-one, everybody doesn't have the great opportunities in certain places in America and abroad, this is what's going to happen. Now, when you perpetuate that in music, and it just amplifies people's attitude to go out and actually commit that and do that, because now you're making it okay, versus to when before we were saying, like, this is what we had to do because of X, Y, Z, but you shouldn't do it if you ain't cut like this, because it's only for the people who have to do it. It can't come to where if I'm going to put my life online and my freedom online just to shine for some chick because I want to look like a Future or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It can't never be that. It should never be that. But no one teaches people through music that, you know, knowing the English language is very important.
That's my point.
You know,
we're making
knowing how
music
to read and write is very important. Knowing how to count is very important. You
but
know,
don't we have to be accountable as artists? Don't we have to be accountable as artists? I mean, these are the songs
we're writing.
Listen,
understand one thing. We only have to be accountable for what we do as who we are as human beings, because if you listen to me, I'm a very educated person. If you listen to my records, I'm a stone cold gangster. You know what I mean? But I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to pay attention to this, that I'm an educated person that has been through that. You understand? I want people to pay attention to me when I talk, not when I rap. So in order to get a lot of people's attention, I have had to act this way in a sense, and that's my responsibility. But it's not my responsibility when you ask me a question not to give you an intelligent answer. And I think these guys just don't have the intelligent answers for kids. It is an act, first of all. No matter what, it's an act. I don't care, you know, like I tell y'all this all the time. I say, look, when the fans were taking pictures of me, I got indicted. You know, it wasn't a rap video. You understand?
Yeah, I remember. I followed your career.
So if you're going to follow something, it's great to be entertained. People need to stop trying to act like all these rappers out here, they can act out what they're actually talking about, because in reality, they're in a million-dollar studio fantasizing. You know,
right.
For real. And then that's just my real take on it. Like, if you say, yeah, they have a responsibility, but also human beings have a responsibility to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
You think that's the only way they can be responsible is in that light?
No, listen. My uncles did what they did. I wanted to do what they did because they benefited. My dad did what he did. I wanted to do what he did because they benefited. But in reality, I took other routes to do what I wanted to do by being irresponsible. You understand?
Right.
And if people don't start taking accountability and be responsible for their own actions, and we need to stop trying to blame this on why our society is like that and that on why our society is. Now, here's what I will say to you about the present state of hip-hop. There is no balance. It's either one way. It's no rapper. It's no rapper telling somebody, don't pop pills because it's not cool. Then there's not a rapper saying, I pop these pills because my mind is fucked up. They just popping pills to turn up. You feel me?
Right.
See,
right.
There was a difference when we said stuff. You know, when I did Black Superman, I wrote in there, I did it to get out of the conditions that I did. You feel me? I didn't say, I did it to get a big car and drink champagne. You feel me?
So do a little wrong to do a little right.
Not that. So, I'm just giving you the reality of some people's life. The reality part of it. See, I was listening to an N.W.A. record, and people knocked N.W.A., heavy, heavy knocked N.W.A. But if you listen to the end of Dope Man, what Eric say, he give you a message at the end of it. But what they think about, they talk about him selling dope and bitch suck my dick. They never said nothing about the consciousness of them.
Right.
At the end of shit. They just listen to the cuss words. You feel me? They never said, and that's what we miss. Even though these dudes is talking about turning up, none of them is talking about the consequences of turning up. That's what the difference is.
Right,
it's not
right.
really them talking. When I was 21, I tell you this all the time, y'all. Well, I tell you, when I was 21, I was them. I wanted to turn up and tear shit up. I was them. But I had a conscience. I wrote records like Freedom of Speech. I wrote records like Minister Society. I wrote records like that, you know, where it was a yin and a yang. It's no yin and a yang no more. There's no if I'm hustling out here selling all this dope, if I'm hustling out here selling all this dope, I might get life. No, I'm selling all this dope to have a Maybach and pop a bottle. And this is where it all ends at. No matter what, if they catch you, they looking at you, but I'm so tough, I'm never going to prison. The end of it only for me was going to prison. You feel me?
Yep.
So unless you're talking about that in modern-day hip-hop, you're not helping anybody. You're absolutely right. So we have to realize that all the uncles and cousins that we got that sold dope, unlike Future, they went to prison.
They got them all. They got them all.
You understand?
Right. They got them all.
That,
nobody
the
escaped.
Don't
they got
go
them
to
all.
Prison rapping about it. So why are you listening to his truth? Look at your own environment and believe that truth. That's what I'm talking
just
about.
The only thing I'm concerned about, it seems like there's just a market for niggas now.
Yeah.
Well, you got to understand, there's always been a market for that.
Absolutely.
The issue is we all grew up in the same era of hip-hop, and hip-hop gave us cause and effect.
There
just as
go.
Much as we had KRS-One and Public Enemy, we had NWA, and we had others. Now, let's
That's
always
right.
understand that just because Luke said one thing didn't mean that Luke was the only thing. What you're basically
That's right.
saying is they're only giving one message. And
That's right.
Really?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not
what I mean
because
by
the
this.
Conditions, because, you know, and I say this and you laugh at me. So you laugh at me. I said, look, let me tell you something. They were selling dope and killing motherfuckers when Flashlight was out. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, shit to do with rap. Niggas been having needles in their arm. Niggas been killing each other. When Mercy was when
they was doing this back
Marvin
in jazz
was,
and stuff.
Yeah,
they
been,
was doing it
exactly.
in jazz.
Exactly.
You
got
to remember, you go back to jazz and blues, some of the biggest blues artists were drug addicts.
There
so,
you go.
Let's be honest. There's never been a point where we weren't street. It's just that we had an effect.
Exactly.
And since then, the changes that have come about since then are more deaths, more murder, more...
But the system ain't changed.
Yeah, exactly.
When,
the system hasn't changed. That's,
when
that's
has
the
system
point.
Changed?
Yeah, that's the point.
Go back. No. Wait, guys. Listen to me. Go back to Billie Holiday when she did Strange Fruit with an all-white band, with an all-white writer who wrote the song. They were still hanging niggas then.
That's
they
right.
were killing, raping black women, going back to slave ships. This
that's
is
right.
nothing new. The difference
exactly.
is how we deal with it. We
that's
now
right.
feel... That because you got to remember, the Panthers came because we got tired of asking.
Exactly.
So this
and
is
what
nothing
you can't
new.
Realize, what you got to realize into what the brother is saying, what the brother is saying is that we need to stop validating the bullshit.
I agree.
You know,
and I think
that's
artists need to make
that's
definitely
that's
step
right.
up. I agree.
It's okay to
I
talk
think,
about it. Stop validating the bullshit. It's
right.
okay to talk
I
about
agree.
It. But stop validating it. I know what he's saying, and it is our responsibility. You know, it is our responsibility to stop validating. It's not our responsibility to not do what we feel. You know,
the window for success for a black man is sometimes narrowed. Our window is so small. And if we keep up with this mentality, we're making it even smaller because it's like this is all we concentrate on. This is all
That's
we
right. Don't validate
about.
It. Yeah, you're right. Don't validate it.
But
okay.
You got to also stay in one thing, you guys. We've had more opportunities now
than
we've ever had. So the limiting is not the
system. But you have more destructive
system.
Outlets as well.
Right.
You have more destructive
right.
outlets.
We do have just as many, but you got to realize. Hold on, guys. You guys have to remember, with freedom comes cause, effect, and damage.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, we have more freedom and more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
That means that we have less time and less concentration
That's
on
right.
something positive.
That's
so
right.
I agree, as an artist, there's a point where we have to start making changes. But the big question has been for centuries, does art imitate life or does
mm-hmm.
life imitate art?
Yeah, here it is. And you just said something profound, because it does. No matter what, because an artist is a human being and he's living a life. He's not a machine. He's not
right.
He's not something put here to solve all of your problems. He's here to say how he looks at the problems. And maybe through that message, you might get some type of solution. You know, now I'm just talking from an artist's perspective because that's what I am. You know, now I'm not here to knock the next guy who doesn't have that perspective. You dig? You know, because
right.
Some people are put here to show you what's right, what's not right, what should be, and then some people are here to give you a solution. You know, there are agitators there. Like you just said, there is a cause and effect. There's a reason why something happens, and there's a reason why somebody comes along and makes them valuable to the situation to maybe rectify, fix it, because we've been talking about the same thing. Our uncles, our grandfathers, our great grandparents
right.
have. We've been going through the same struggles, regardless.
I agree.
And we're going
I
to
agree.
Continue to go through it.
One of the things, guys, it's Terrence here from Canada, and
mm-hmm.
maybe putting a little different perspective on it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at things from Canada.
Right.
We as black men and as
mm-hmm.
individuals also need to look at the responsibility of
yes.
what we have to our youth.
Mm-hmm.
If we just take it back into history a little bit, you know, the music industry has been predominantly a white conglomerate industry
right.
where they've
yeah.
controlled everything.
Yeah, the control now, aspect. You're right. Absolutely.
Exactly. In the last 10, 15 years, let's just bring it back to Michael Jackson. The black man or the black conglomeracy or entertainment industry has taken it over.
Right.
To the point
right.
where they gave us free reign.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes back to Motown.
And we've forgotten that our forefathers, our grandfathers, our uncles, our dads struggled so hard
mm-hmm.
to make the industry that you are in and that we are in a
mm-hmm.
professional industry,
mm-hmm.
and we've almost brought it back to the point where it's almost disrespectful now. So the
mm-hmm.
pride, the struggle that our grandfathers and fathers have done to put us into this place, we've been given enough rope where rap is now looked down upon. It's a street thing. It's a struggle thing. It's a gangster thing. Exactly what you guys were talking about before.
Well, it always, the thing what you're saying is that it always has been, here's what the bad part, and people talk about the golden era of hip-hop. Here's the great
yeah.
thing about that. They didn't have the formula to control it. It was
exactly.
the only form of music that came along that everyone could say everything they wanted to say within that
yeah.
realm of it, and they in corporate couldn't control it, which for a long time, when we look at the Motowns and the Stax
yeah.
and all these different labels, they really controlled those labels in a sense because of how the government was ran, you know
yeah.
what I mean? To where
yeah.
when hip-hop came along, the labels couldn't control it, the government couldn't control it, because it was considered like a flash in a pan, a fly by night. Now, when it started
yeah.
making billions of dollars, it was nobody's problem but our problem.
Yes.
You know, And it's funny because when I look at my family, my dad, my uncle, you know, all of his colleagues and everything.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell people who your dad and them were so they know.
Oh, my dad was Richard. He was a producer. He was Richard Hutch. He was a writer and a composer at Motown. And my uncle was Willie Hutch, the artist, the writer, the composer, and all that. And one thing they pride themselves on when they saw a person like Eric was the fact that he didn't have any chains or restraints on what he was trying to do as a black man like they had. Like they almost had – they were so censored that they really couldn't talk about what they really wanted to talk about.
Felt
you know what I mean? When Eric came along and had his own label and we kind of talked about what we want to talk about, that they wasn't so pro the way we did it, but they were proud because in reality – that's what they work for. The state that hip-hop comes from is what all those guys in the 60s and 70s fought for, us to say what's real in the ghetto, us to say what's real about it, us to say it is bad, it is fucked up. Help us, please. We need to get out of this. In any glorification of it was, here's the glorification. We doing this because you left us for dead. We going to eat, we going to commit crimes, and when we eat, we going to get power. You know what I mean? And the only way we were able to do that was through hip-hop for a period of time. Now, here comes the 2000s where they figured out how to formulate us and make money.
Exactly.
When we walked through those companies in the 90s and the 80s, all they knew that it made money. So just like the system of corporation is, if it makes money, why you fucking with it? So they didn't fuck with us. Once they figured out how they could control it and make money, now you have the modern day, the brands. This is what we're going to sell to y'all this month. This is the only topic that's going to be out there.
And you got white ghetto rappers now.
Exactly. Because you know? there is a formula. There's a formula now. And if you're out of that formula, you're probably never, ever going to be able to say what you want to say and overthrow that system,
exactly.
Which we almost had done it. You know, when it came to all of these big conglomerates like Rap-A-Lot, Ruthless, Death Row, Rockefeller,
they definitely
Swab
get time
out, No Limit, all these things, Bad Boy, all these things came along, and we almost done it until they figured out, okay, we know how to make this be marketed, and we can do it whenever we want to. We can control it. See, they start being able to control the flow of it, if you notice. And now you have it. Now you basically have it. One topic, one cause, one reason. Nobody's saying anything profound that means anything, but one or two artists that slipped through the crack. And that doesn't help the movement when you had 10 groups doing what they wanted to do. You know,
I pride myself on
being able to say I love my mama and fuck the government if they do me wrong. You feel me? I pride myself to have the freedom to do that. You understand?
Yes.
I pride myself to say I love God, but if you do me wrong, I might have to do something to you because that's human. Now, we're just stuck in the club. We just stuck in the hood. You feel me? We ain't nowhere else. We're not talking about what we believe in, and people were like, Tupac was so profound. Tupac was, but you know, he was a dear friend of mine, and he was a regular dude that sat on my mama's couch and ate at her dinner table. You know what I'm saying? A very polite man. He wasn't no thug like you think that. You know what I'm saying? But in his heart, you know what he was good at? He was good at telling you how he felt at the moment because he could. And he wasn't going to bite his tongue. He was a very humble dude. He wasn't going to bite his tongue. And you don't have that now. Now everybody. Now we're back to like what my dad and my uncle and all them were going through. Watch what you say. Why are you saying that? Just say this. Don't do that.
So how do we bring that back? Where the control is more about what the artist wants to say.
I think how we do it is we have something we've never had before. And no one controls it. And that's called the internet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The digital market scares controlling factors because no
That's
one
right.
controls it, and everybody got access. So
mm-hmm.
if you guys start understanding, and I'm saying this, you know, I have a legal job, I have a good legal job, but
mm-hmm.
in the reality, if you understand how streaming works now, how digital
yeah.
works, this is where your independent artists are going to make voices. I know Hutch does a lot of work on the net. He
yeah.
pushes a lot. You know, and you
yeah.
guys have to understand that this brother here makes music that he feels. And he's
right.
always been involved with projects that make what he feels. Hutch has never been shy to say whatever he needs to say, do whatever needs to be done. I know you guys are all cool now, but there was a time when there was controversy, and Hutch
right.
had no problem handling whatever way he needed to handle it.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And that's just real. Me and Hutch have loved each other for years. We bumped heads.
Exactly.
That's my brother. And he's going to tell me how he feels. So
and
when
think,
he records,
and,
he
and
does
I think,
that.
And I think what
you guys
saying,
have to look
think,
at how to do that.
Yeah,
go
and
ahead,
I think what you're saying, I think what you're saying is point on. I think people have to say what they feel, how they about it because of the way things are now. They're so controlled, they're so in a box, and that's not human. And that's where we're at, that's why we're at a spot right now where music is not being felt anymore. It's because a lot of artists aren't saying what they feel. They're doing what they think the machine wants them to do.
Only what you change is that it's not created anymore, right?
Right.
Well, the difference is
made,
a lot of that is
created.
You guys are not using the avenues that you that none of we ever had before. Trust me, if Hutch and me and guys like even Easy and a lot of ones had the access
yeah.
like we have now directly to the people, almost like
yeah.
able to inject it into the bloodstream, we
yeah.
have to take responsibility at this point why music isn't where it is because we don't have the guts to say and do what we want to do. You can't
right.
no longer blame
well,
it on
because
the corporation.
Because what it is, it's the big brother theory. It's
right.
the big brother watching theory. It's that's what it's doing to a lot of artists that want to say what they want to say. It's like,
yes.
well, you'll never make it by saying what you want to say by us, but you will because the thing about the will of an artist will always rise above corporations. You know what I mean? If he believes in what he's talking about. That's why accidentally you get the Kendrick Lamars. That's why accidentally that happens. But it's really on purpose. Because what happens is you see a person that's like really not threatening to you, but he becomes more of a threat after he arrives because that's how it manifests. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
If you look closely at it, no artist has ever broke ground and been profound by playing by those rules ever. And
that's
trust and believe me twice, those rules were always there.
Yes.
Just in hip hop, you couldn't control it, and you didn't have to live and die by it to be successful. Now they make you think that you still don't because they only figured out a way to formulate it. But the thing about an organic form of music, it has its own life. It doesn't need your nutrients to survive. That's
mm-hmm.
why there'll always be people come up in hip hop more than people are. Now pop music is like it's a formulated music. You can't make pop hip hop pop no matter how many times you say Iggy is this or
yeah.
this white rapper is this and this. You can never formulate it because it's an organic form of music. It's a music that formed from a bunch of kids that people left for dead, basically. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It formed
its
own.
It
came from its own life. It wasn't contrived by the machine, the creative part of it. So as long as artists believe in that part of it, it'll always turn itself around. I just seen something crazy online. I seen these like 14-year-old rappers rapping it seemed like it was like a Naughty by Nature video. And it was like, this is 2015. And these kids, and I know these kids are too young to go watch throwback shit. I know that's something that's organically happening because
yeah.
that's how hip hop evolved. That's how it was conceived. It wasn't conceived by people have to understand what I'm saying because I lived it. You know what I mean? And
yes.
it's a little bit different, you know, when you could just sit back and say, that's going to work for right now. Like all these artists that are popping now, they're going to work for right now until the bridge, tell a bridge, tell the old bridge with the young. You feel me? Once the once somebody does that, it's a rap, and it restores itself because it's a form of music like that. It's not a form of music that's contrived by like a boy band formula. Or so you can't never formulate it. Only way you can formulate
urban
it is
music
people,
is not plug and play. You're right.
There you go.
Hey.
Only way you can formulate
it. Hey, Shaq.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question. Yeah, this is Master Green. Hey, what's up, Hutch? I went over to your house one time with Shaquille.
Okay.
One time.
Oh yeah, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, that producer? I'm on the Soul Bridge. I had a question.
Yeah, what's up,
now,
what's
for all these young artists out there, I was asking you a question about the Illuminati. Like, is that real? For the people who don't really have a clue out there.
Illuminati's
one of the oldest organized factors known to man. This country was built.
Crossbows, it exists.
It goes way back
to
slavery.
We play no role in it. No black man plays no role in it.
It's real, but you ain't got no role in it. It's things that happen top 5%, and they're going to do what they want to do regardless.
Exactly.
They may use people as pawns, but. You know, all this stuff you guys are hearing and all this other stuff, you guys need to put that aside because they've been doing this since before.
To me, if you work for Pepsi, you're a part of it. To me, if you work for Pepsi, you're a part of it. To me, if you work for Toyota, you're a part of it. To me, because they're all in ties to everything that runs life in this systematic system, dog. It's not just music, you know what I'm saying? If you want to say a rap artist is because he signed a Universal, then, hey, you punching in at UPS is or you punching in at Federal Express is.
Any corporation that's worth any weight in gold is controlled by the top 3%. So there's
there
nothing you can really do. So
that's what I'm saying.
The banks, everything
is. I'm like, you can say all that. You can say all these people are plugged in. One thing I do know about the music industry and entertainment and movie and film and all that, they pick who they want to pump money into. Now, you can call that whatever you want to. That used to be, when we were growing up and we was little, that's your token black. That's your Sammy Davis. Yep. That's never have changed, guys. That's never have changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's never changed. There's always one of us that makes it beyond us. There's always one of us. It's never a whole bunch. And all the rest of us are very successful. And if we're smart, we withstand that success. Now, people want to call it Illuminati, call it that. But when you get a big position at a corporation and 'cause you bust your ass and they want you to control all the natives and all the urban people that work for the company, that's probably
who
that
for
is.
Centuries.
I mean, you're part of it too, right?
Anybody that has to deal with
living, anybody who's part of that,
anybody who deals with living is part of it. I want to definitely get into something, man. A lot of people don't really understand. You guys are doing what you guys have done, and I want to definitely show people. When we talk about there's a consciousness of hip hop that wasn't there before, we're talking about movements like Sun City, Self Destruction, and you know, let's get into a little bit on how you guys did.
Same Gang?
How you guys did the Same Gang? How you guys came about with that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great time. I hadn't made a record yet, and Mike Concepcion wanted a new group on there, and we had just signed the Ruthless, and fortunately, we were able to get on a record, being a street group coming up, and he wanted our point of view on the record. And made it make sense because, we had a lot to say about what was going on in the particular time in the ghettos of America and South Central Pomona, all over the world, you know what I mean? So that's how that came about, and it was great because I think we come from the 70s and the 80s where people really talked about something that it was a lot of the records had a cause. They spoke upon something. So doing the Same Gang record was very important for us because we were at a crazy time in the 80s at that point, coming into the 90s.
About 100 homies a month, so I definitely feel.
Exactly,
We go back, and that's part of the thing me and Hutch know because we were there on a lot of that. We getting ready to go into that record, but I definitely wanted to let people know that you weren't just talking. You put your money where your mouth was.
Right. And, you know, I want you guys to understand, we're going to get into some real deep subjects here.
Let's get it.
This is Inside the Game radio show. Check it out. Where Urban Culture Lives, Culture Zine Radio, where Urban Culture Lives, all in the same game.
I'm King News, and I come to you with the truth. The mean streets took 6 more lives overnight, all the result of gangbang stupidity. By the way, you gangsters should know, one of your victims was a 3-year-old girl. One more gang members, you still don't get it, do you?
It's straight up madness everywhere I look. Used to be a straight ex student. Now a crook, robbing people just to smoke and shoot up. Used to have a crew cut, now it's a poop butt. Dropped out of school and joined the neighborhood gang. Hanging on the street selling cane to his own people. Now when I say people, I mean color. You a stupid motherfucker.
Citizens, we are the mothers of this earth. It's time we start being good mothers from the birth of our children. No time for sleeping. Teaching to fight and win. For the right reason. It's your time. It's your life living. Proud to be black, young, and gifted. Lifted by the knowledge of taking the right route. Gang violence needs to be wiped out.
One and the same. Everyone came in the same chain. Caught with the same aim. Brain games and names change. Destroyed the black male crack jail and semi-automatic static if the crack fails. So since we all talk the same slang, stop killing my brother because we're all from the same gang.
Don't always like
us,
we're all together.
Message
ads
because
we're all in the same gang.
Now I'm the guilty. I used to get my bang on. And on the app, get my part-time slang on. When a time for me was no joke, so they knew I was crazy, so they labeled me loco. Had me sleeves off, I feel like 40. No riding and talking up a 40. Thinking never mind, they don't want to handle us. The Dallas Brothers never touch Los Angeles.
Being a pimp that we are.
We're here to speak of a situation that is gone too far.
Here at home, it's the ghettos of L.A. Where a young black girl is not promised to see the next day.
Cause we used to go from the streets before we made speed.
But food is late and frail as we.
It don't depend on the color of a rag.
Cause if you got what they want, you know they're gonna take what you
cause
have.
Cause violence can only revolve from drugs and thugs and gangs and bang most times.
It's a political thing.
Yeah, a couple of spots to get tied.
And the government wants to see me get all this stuff. I see. Ripping the microphone the way I do. Listen close, my brothers, cause I'm talking to you. The problem is we got a suicidal lifestyle. Cause 90% of us are living foul and wild. I say job, you say
bad joke. I'd rather jack another brother while the gun smoke.
Living in the fast lane, flipping like you're insane. You won't stop until your blood runs down the street drain.
Don't you know we got to put our heads together. Stop the fight.
Make the change.
Yo, we're not here to freak,
yeah.
Because we're not ministers. We're telling it like it is, cause when it drains like sinister.
Reality speaks for itself when it's spoken.
They say blood can't bring nobody for smoking.
Yo, bullets flying, mothers crying,
brothers dying,
lying in the streets, that's why we're trying.
To stop them from falling apart and going away, and keeping the smile off a white face.
And brothers, killing other brothers. I thought the idea was to love one another. Open up the paper to one more death. If y'all keep doing something, there'll be no one left. I try my best to send an example. Saying hype lyrics over hip hop samples. Not just to brag at the most, but to inform. Cause the living in the calm before the storm.
I'm in a rage.
Oh, yeah? Yo, why is that, G?
Other races, they say we act like rats in a cage. I tried to argue, but check it. Every night in the news, we prove them suckers right. And I got the blues.
America.
Get busy, Humpty.
The red, the white, the blue, and the blue. And the red for Christian blood, the white for who's got you doing time, busting caps on one another.
The underground sound for peace among brothers.
Kill a black man.
What?
Yo, what are you retarded?
Tell them, Humph.
Yo, do you work for the Klan?
Do what you like.
Unless you like gang banging. Let's see how many brothers leave us hanging.
Kicking on the ad about a 8:45. All the homies getting blind in the 8-ball line. Now on this tip, they started running their lip. Jumped in the deep, took a little trip. Hit the block about 12 on the tick. The whistles went down and the nines went click. People started yelling, bodies started bailing. Bullets go flying, sending something to hell in. It's gotta stop, we don't need all the violence. Beats in the hood and I'm over the silence. We got together, not for ego or fame. We got involved cause we're all in the same game.
Last but not least, yo, Easy's no sellout. And if you can't hang in the streets, then get the hell out. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. You have your own freedom of choice who to listen to. You know good from bad, bad from fine, right from wrong. Now your mother's singing that sad song.
My baby ain't never hurt nobody.
But he still got smoke at baby's party. But you're not the first or the last. You're nothing but a short story from the past. You're dead now, my number one but a zero. Take notes from Easy, the violent hero.
Inside the Game. We're on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives, with our special guest, a very good friend of mine, Mr. 187. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good. I'm hanging in there. I'm blessed, man. How about you?
Before I say anything else, man, definitely rest in peace, Mr. Eazy-E.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, my man, KMG.
Definitely, KMG. We're going to definitely bang something out for KMG a little later. But I wanted to get into something, man. I wanted to talk about production. So you guys have calls and asks about production. This is one of hip-hop's greatest producers. Also, to me, one of hip-hop's greatest unworked lyricists. You guys don't really understand the lyricist Cat got that no one really thinks about. You know, he says shit that make you go, damn, did he just say? You know, like one of my favorite verses is in Black Superman when you said before I let my mama get back on.
The county again, you know, I'd rather take a risk of doing 5 to 10. Yeah.
That's real talk. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to the phones. 0341, you're on.
You know what it is? What's up, Big Hutch? What's up, Shaquise, your homeboy from Compton Underworld Records and Tapes? Big
Hutch,
DPG. You know what to do.
That's right.
What's
up,
baby?
Had to support. Man, you know it's Eazy-E, it's Ruthless Family Membership.
That's right.
So what's up, fam?
Oh, Shaquise, we go way back. Me and Hutch go way, way back.
Yes,
you
sir.
Dig?
Yes, sir.
Man, man, been supporting Hutch since, you know, day one when Eazy brought back the first summer jam at the Bonaventure Hotel. You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that truck. Yeah, oh, man.
You know, L.A. Council, you know, they canceled any hip-hop concert, but Eric, with his influence and working with 92 to 3 to Beat, he put his money up, man, and put his Ruthless Family on stage up there and made a peace treaty.
That's right.
And that was my first day ever seeing Hutch conduct live music, man, with the black gloves on, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the conductor, man. That was my first time seeing my little brother Cocaine perform.
Yeah.
And from that day on,
definitely,
man.
Definitely shout out to Coca. That's my dog.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, from that day on, I got, you know, I was always born and raised with Eazy, but he was like, Orin, I need you to see these groups. From that day on, man, I became family. You know what I mean?
That's
with
right. Yeah,
family,
man. That was a great moment. That was a great moment, man. Ruthless was a great moment, man. Like, I can't.
Yes, it was.
You know, I wish I could explain it to people, man. You know, I mean, the short period of time that, you know, that we done everything that we done, you know. And I talked to Ren about this, and Ren was like, man, can you believe that was only a short period of time? I said, yeah, you know, when I think about it, it seemed like it was a long time. It's like, nah, it was a few years, man.
Oh,
you know,
short, man.
You know, but a lot came out of that, you know, up into modern day music, you know. So, I'm blessed, man. You know, and it's good to hear from you, brother. You know,
man, always Hutch. You know, we always embrace and see each other. It's one thing that Hutch told me back in the day. We both was in the street. We both who we were. And he was like, Big A, man, all we need is a funnel. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If we can get a funnel, and that's when you know, I seen you went over to Death Row to put some things in the mix, and you said, I said, is that the funnel? You said, it might be.
Right. One thing I learned from Eric is that you have to stay with the business of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Regardless.
Yeah. Right.
It could be
right.
Whatever you want it to be if you really thriving for it to be that, you know? And it's kind of crazy at Ruthless, like, to have a CEO like him was real, you know, it's kind of, it spoil you when you're young, you know?
Yeah.
Because
when you
get out here and you start dealing with these other suckers for real, you start realizing that they are controlled and they ain't about a funnel. They not about giving you any kind of outlets, you know. If we're not looking to create that and generate the type of outlets for our own people like he was doing, then we didn't learn shit, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, that's one of my influences on trying to put this digital radio stuff together.
Right.
Because, you know, radio doesn't give us any outlets, and we sure can't talk like this on
there
FM
you
radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't have the kind of conversations we can have on this radio station. So I'm putting this together, and we call it Inside the Game, because you're only going to get this kind of information from the policymakers, policy breakers, and
that's
the
right.
game changers.
You're not going to get this, you know, and I have to start thinking, I guess, a little more label control to a certain extent, which is going to be hard for me because of the job that I got. But I'm a free mouth. I'm not going to let anybody cut my throat. And so when I do this show, I want young kids to not have to go through all of the shit we had to go through and get to where we at. We
and
need
I think,
to start
and I, and
progressing
I think people,
that information.
And I think what you're saying is, I think what you're saying is solid because what when you create that outlet, then you give people an option to not have to only depend on that for the true
correct.
Answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's just
correct.
Up to us to want the truth. You know, like, I think we grew up, you know, I think we came up in an era that we looked for the truth so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so
right.
we wouldn't put up with, you couldn't just tell us anything like that for us. And our parents, we battled so much with our parents, like, we would never, and we became those kids that rebelled against everything because we looked for the truth so much. And it's fucked up. It's so messed up now that you don't even have
speak your mind. You
ain't
gotta watch your tongue. Speak your mind.
You know, it's so
you
fucked up now that you don't. You got people because someone's popular, they'll believe the lie that they're telling.
Right.
We didn't give a fuck how popular a motherfucker was. If he didn't, if he wasn't telling the truth, he'd get thrown under the bus first.
Off the top.
That's real.
Off the
you
top.
Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now because he's popular. I seen something yesterday about T.I. said something about a woman.
A woman president, yeah.
Not being a president, right? Now this is his true voice. This is his opinion, right? But
right.
on TMZ, not to give TMZ no plug on your show. It's all about your show.
Mm-hmm.
But
so,
on
no,
TMZ,
no,
they,
no. We speak real here.
Yeah, on TMZ, they were so bowing down to Oprah. Talking about, they asked Oprah that, and Oprah has so many. He's in hot water with Oprah and all this old shit, right? And I said, well, I started scratching my head. I said, okay, Oprah's in a power position, but I can't say what the fuck I feel because of Oprah.
Not
because God came down and dialed you and said, hey, that's wrong for you. Oprah. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot of respect for Oprah, but Oprah can't tell me what to say and fucking how I feel.
You know, the funny part is she makes the statements of her own that she needs to deal with. So we're human,
and no one should have any power or any more power over anybody, no matter who you are, how much you make, or where you come from,
people,
or what your bloodline is, none of that.
Exactly. You tell people this. Hey, if I show up with some red shoes on and a green hat, that's my problem. It ain't yours.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It ain't yours. His opinion is his problem. That's T.I.'s problem. It ain't Oprah's problem.
And Oprah wasn't making no statements about it either.
Right, exactly. So how he feels about something is his problem. It's not her problem. Like, you know, it was almost like white America went, you need to check that nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
But you have to understand.
That's
you know,
what it was saying it like, you know.
Well, you know, they pick one person, and that's the person that okays everything. And that's
exactly.
one of the things that I think is a problem in not only our community, but in this hip-hop culture. We started to go back to Massa say, Massa beat us on Monday, feed us on Tuesday.
Now, if Justin Timberlake said
it,
would they ask Oprah Winfrey? Now, if Justin Timberlake said that, would they ask Oprah Winfrey anything?
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's that point that they still trying to have control.
Pay attention because your eyes is open, and that's free. That's the only thing you'll get free. Pay attention because your eyes is open.
It.
That's the only thing you'll get free.
That's it.
You know. It don't cost you nothing
to pay attention.
So...
Yeah, I mean,
I want y'all to hold on,
insane,
man.
But...
Hold on, y'all. We got to pay a bill.
Okay.
I'm going to definitely come right back. We got to pay this bill.
All right.
Are you an artist, DJ, or dancer? Have you been looking for a chance to prove your talent to the world with no luck? Well, look no further. Join us for the next To Blow $50,000 National Talent Search. Two lucky contestants will go home with a cash prize of $50,000 and a single deal with a major recording company. Our judges represent some of the largest record labels, including Universal, Island Records, Def Jam Recordings, Atlantic Records, Concord Music Group, After Eden Records and Interscope. The next to blow talent search will be coming to a state near you, but slots are limited and will not last long. So register today at www.thenexttoblow.com. That's THENEXT, the number 2BLOW.com. Don't miss out because you could be next.
What's up, y'all?
That's
a contest that Universal and AE and a lot of Universal labels are putting together to try and find new talent. So, you know, it's part of my job as the new AE senior director of A&R at AE Universal to pump my own stuff.
You got to do it.
I got to pay the bills.
That's
but it's great, man. They want to give away $50,000 to $100,000 plus a record deal. And the difference is it's going to be like The Voice. It'll be on major TV. And the difference is on that one we'll be able to sign. So everybody there has signing power. Not like, ooh, I like that. We have signing power. So we can change the nigga life right there. Or we can send you to LA to get developed. So we trying, man. I'm gonna definitely bring y'all in on a lot of these things, man, because I need some help over here.
You got Hutch, he's an executive producer and extraordinary and visionary and futurist. You got Big A.
I got you over there, A. I need some help over there over on the blocks, man. So don't get it twisted. I need some help on the block getting things out there, making things happen. We get ready to go to a phone, but we're gonna talk about some production. So Hutch, I want y'all to definitely talk about production coming up. Again, this is Inside the Game on Culture Scene Radio, where Urban Culture Lives. 5546, you're on.
Yo, what up, though?
What's up, man?
What's up?
John Robinson, man. What's going on, soldier?
What's happening
with
you?
What's up, man?
Man, you know.
Chilling,
he
man.
Got, hey, Hutch, he got some hot young producers over there. They producing that D12 joint.
Oh, dope.
You know, they over there in M's camp, so.
Okay.
You know, these
that's
D-Town boys is repping, man. These boys is repping.
Oh,
these are D-Town boys.
Man, let me, before we go anywhere, man, first of all, let me say, congratulations to my big bro, Mr. Abdul, for moving into the power seat and giving, you know, cats a chance to do what they need to do out here,
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, man, but I wouldn't be able to do nothing without you brothers on my team, so go ahead, Hutch.
Right. Dog, you already know, you the captain, man, so we running behind you, I know you said go ahead, Hutch, but I got to say this while I got a second. Hutch, man. You that dude, man.
Salute. Thank you, man. Well,
you
thank
been
you, brother.
The shit, man.
Yeah.
You been the shit. All right? We out
there
in Detroit, and, you know, we basically come from a little small city outside of Detroit called Ypsilanti.
Okay,
Yeah, and when y'all
it's my stomping ground, man, the D, man.
You know,
he said, what up, though? I was like, oh, this is D, man, right here, man.
You know what it is, man.
I wanted him to call in because he's got some banging young producers called Block Symphony. And, you know, who better to get information from? I mean, they got their new D12 joint. Coming,
I'm working
on the
Black Godfather right now,
stuff.
And I'm looking for some shit, so I need it. So
that's why
go.
I wanted y'all to talk.
Man, please. Look, the pleasure is all mine. In hip-hop, I'm like this. When it comes to this hip hop thing, I believe in this like cats believe in their gangs, man.
You there
you follow go. The code, and you give props where they do. Hutch, you a legend, baby.
Well, thank you, man. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
all I'm trying to do is be humble and see how we can work.
Well, let's do it.
This is the man
that
asked some production questions to. You can ask me questions all day, but this brother got millions of record sales behind him and platinum plaques on the plaque.
Yeah.
Hey. We trying to do a little something now.
So
what I want to know is, coming from the West Coast, you know, Detroit was kind of like y'all. We was trying to make our move into the game.
Right.
Once you got into the game and you had the chance to kind of see where you was going, what would you say to cats that, you know, like right now I heard the whole talk about how y'all telling cats how to kind of help one another, pull each other up. If you're a young producer and in this day and time of these quick, you know, microwave things going on with the internet, what does a real dude that's got real talent do to get himself separated from that and really get in the eyes of somebody like yourself or, you know, a label where you can really separate them from the jokes.
I think it's two parts of production. I think one is the actual physically producing the sound of it, and it's the vision that you have. And with vision comes product. You know, a lot of people put together songs and concepts, but there's no product attached to it. What makes an artist become an actual artist that can be out there and promote it and marketing is sales, you know, getting people to buy it, is that it's a product. It becomes an actual ideal. Like, for instance, Eazy-E and N.W.A. was a product, you know. It was a bunch of cats talking about Compton and fuck the police and this and that. It's that whole concept. And as the producer that was Dr. Dre, you know, he created a product, you know. And just like me, all the people that I produced from Cocaine, Above the Law, and all and working with Eazy-E and N.W.A., I was taught how to create the product. No matter where you come from, whatever you do, a lot of people think, okay, a dope beat and a rapper makes the product. It's a great idea, but what's the product? What's his point of view? That's what separates you from being able to break out of a Detroit, a St. Louis, or wherever, to where now you have a person that's like, people don't even give a fuck where you're from, because what he's talking about as the product is way far past where he comes from. You know, and the things that he's talking about, the concept of Above the Law, like, for instance, you say, we're huge in Detroit. Above the Law, the concept of Above the Law, the hustler, the grinder, the guy with the focus, by all means, get money, grind, you know what I'm saying, help your brother out, look out, Black Mafia, all of that. That was our product. That's what made you buy our Doritos and our corn chips, you know what I mean? That's what it is.
Play Black Superman in Detroit right now, and you'll swear that.
Exactly, because that was you know, one thing about, it's funny, when I had produced Uncle Sam's Curse, I produced the whole album, and I would call Easy in to listen to the whole album. So Black Superman was the last album that I played, last song off the album that I played, because it was the last song I mixed. I was like, I just did this last night. Check this out. So when Black Superman fades out, you know, it's nothing in the studio but smoke and quiet niggas. You know what I'm saying? And Easy poked his head up, and he leaned forward. He said, "That's the single." I said, "What?" I said, "Man, we got California. We got all these other singles." I said, "Black Superman gonna scare the shit out of me." He said, "The concept of your album, this one song explains what that product is. That's gonna lure people to Uncle Sam's Curse." And that's unconsciously when I started realizing consciously what he was talking about, to where when you do something, and I tell these a lot of people in markets and products, why we can't break out of this, because I'm listening to y'all songs, but you guys aren't a product. I don't know what's going on where you're from. When I listen to Bone, I got East 1999. I got where he was from in Cleveland. I got the concept of the product. Even when Easy brought them to the label, they were a good idea. They weren't a product until he put the Bone Thugs and Harmony together and made you zero in on what the product was. And I think with a great producer, that's what he knows. He's a visionary. He knows how to create the product. You know, it's one thing to produce the song, to produce the beat, because now you have a lot of good beat producers. Guys can't come in and say, "Look, I want this beat to be, I want somebody to put vocals on this beat to where it's like we in an alley standing around a trash can and the police roll up and you know, it's a bitch up in the window singing." That's what a producer does. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's what he does to the record. The guy that comes in with the boom, the clack, the boom, 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 clack, he's the guy that produced the beat. He's a guy like back in the days where the rhythm section was a band and then Smokey and them came in and produced the record. You feel me? These guys, they think because they produce a beat that they're actual producers of the records. You know, you have to come in and actually make it a physical record, make it a product. And that's where it's a problem with people putting out mixtapes, which to me, as a producer, from a perspective of a producer, they're demos that should never be fucking heard. You know what I'm saying? So, you feel me? The 80% of them are demos that never should be heard. You know, so I don't know why you putting them out, and in case somebody says they're garbage or you don't get the feedback that you need to get back, you say it's a mixtape. Stop it. It's a demo that should never be heard. I don't care if you're established. I don't care if you're a new guy. It's a demo that should never be heard. It's a great song idea, but you should have focused on the product, you know. That's what interests labels. That's what interests people. Product interests people. You know,
okay. Say that again, please, brother. Say that again for these young guys. What product interests people?
Product is what interests people, not half-cocked ideas. You know.
Message.
Wow.
Message.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well, thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, I don't want to hop in the middle because I sit here and try to pick your brain all night, brother.
Yeah, you know,
I'm gonna hook y'all up.
I'm just a humble guy that paid attention along the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not here to knock anybody. I get it. While we talked earlier, one thing I can say that the conglomerate has done, he's learned how to manipulate the product, and that's why it's to shit a bit. That's why things are a bit to shit, because the conglomerate has figured out how to mass produce product to the market. You know,
no doubt.
He's formulated bullshit. You know, and if
I,
we don't
I,
get
I,
back
I
as writers and
that's
producers,
that's why I brought him on this show tonight.
Artists,
I wanted him to explain to y'all that shit straight up. Wanted him to inject this shit into y'all veins,
right,
as a dealer would say. Y'all been taking bullshit and taking it as the truth. I wanted
That's
y'all
right.
to
yeah.
learn directly from the horse's mouth how this shit works.
I learned because
I
something is popular don't make it good. Just because something is popular does not make it good. That's
yeah.
not the
yeah.
We learned that through the history of music,
mm-hmm.
through the history of movies, through the history of television and what's going on. You know what I mean? We learned that. Just
yeah.
because it's popular doesn't mean it's good. You know?
Okay.
Let me chime in as a entrepreneur, as a label executive.
Okay.
And you know, grew up with Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Today's music that you
mm-hmm.
hear on the radio is
mm-hmm.
not catalog music. You're
not
going to hear.
No.
I second that. I know. When we in Detroit and you in the club. And you hear Black Superman, everybody's getting up.
Right.
Okay?
Hell,
and this is damn near two decades later. It's
there
still
go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gin and Juice still go. You know
That's
what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we was creating catalog music just like the Four Tops and the Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
Super catalog music. Okay?
Right.
Today's
mm-hmm.
music
wow.
is not designed to be catalog
music.
It's
called timeless product. It's called timeless product.
Yeah.
product.
Yeah,
you know,
they beat into the young cats' heads though, man. Like, yeah, like you know that if you don't have a single, the rest of it don't matter.
This is what's bad with that. That has always been relevant because if the single don't hit, no one paid attention to you anyway. It's not that's
right.
not nothing new. But what's bad is that. If you're creating something from your perspective, creatively, how can someone come and tell? Because no A&R person could ever come and tell me not to make Black Superman. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I wanted that, those body of songs, I done them because I wanted to do them. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like now they tamper with too much of the creative process because they say, well. No one's gonna like what you're doing because everybody is doing this. Well,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean?
I don't want to do that.
What does mm-hmm. that mean? I get to pick up their scraps off their table. I get to pick up Drake's scraps. I get to pick
mm-hmm.
up Lil Wayne's scraps.
Mm-hmm.
now the music has became the same. And then when you really look at things that are charting and that are hits, think about what they are. It's Nicki Minaj featuring Drake. Drake featuring Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne featuring Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj featuring Rick Ross. Rick Ross featuring Drake and Nicki Minaj. And
mm-hmm.
Rick Ross featuring Drake and Lil Wayne. You know, come on, let's just be real about it. That's that's when you figure out a way to formulate product to people. You know what I mean?
I tell them it's like niggas getting off their shit. One nigga get off work, they put another nigga back on the line, and they just
right.
You know,
mm-hmm. You're right.
Fucked up, and what's fucked up about it is that you like Big A just said too. He said, okay, Gin and Juice and Black Superman, two totally different types of records. But
mm-hmm.
were profound records, you know what I'm saying? Were phenomenal mm-hmm. records, you know what I'm saying? They weren't nothing. Mm-hmm. They didn't sonically sound the same. They didn't, mm-hmm. and they both from the G-Funk conglomerate, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, G-Funk, mm-hmm. my brother. Appreciate it.
You know
that.
What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So think about that. So think about that in a nutshell, to where when you look at these people, that these people are like, but all their records sound the same. And then that, to me, what that turns into, that's formulating product. Is like what I was telling the brother from the D, is that if the young generation start doing product and follow our blueprints, they will go further.
Mm-hmm.
Like they will become legendary. Have catalog, because what they're formulating for as product is them. They're not formulating the ideals of popular culture. You
right.
know,
well, thank
all
you.
The things
well,
that you see now is companies formulating the ideals of popular culture. The this agenda, the that agenda, the your agenda, the my agenda, the gay agenda,
mm-hmm.
the his
mm-hmm.
agenda, the her agenda.
Mm-hmm.
All these
mm-hmm.
agendas. Well, when you have
mm-hmm.
agendas, think about it, guys. Think about it, brothers. When we all have agendas. That, what does that mean? That means there's a certain mark we're trying to hit. There's something
mm-hmm.
we're trying to go and specifically get, right? There's an agenda
mm-hmm.
here. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
if we don't step up and start doing what we want to do and have our own agenda and
mm-hmm.
not follow their agenda, it doesn't matter what the product is at that point, because everybody on the creative process has fallen for their agenda. You know, you say something about this. They have something to say about you. You say something about everybody's watching what they say, how they move, what they wear. People are afraid to call people on shit. You know what I mean? It's just
mm-hmm.
terrible, man.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and creatively, we got to get back. We have to get back to doing what the fuck we want to do, how we want to do it. We can't keep watching each other have hits and then copying what the motherfucker that had the last hit do. And that's what these A&R motherfuckers are doing.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you very
exactly
much, man, for answering
yeah.
my question.
No, you
thank
got
you.
It, brother.
No problem,
it's all good.
Man. Stay with us, man. Stay with us. This is Stay with us. I want y'all to know we get ready. So we've been talking about Black Superman so much. I think we need to play that so people understand why
Turn
it was
up.
Such a banger, man. Introduce this joint for me, dog.
Well, you know, this is the mighty, mighty untouchable, the world's most untouchable group, above the law. Me and my man, KMD,
yeah.
rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Black Superman. Let's go. Let's get it.
Where you been all night, huh? I know you wasn't in your bed. Your bed's still made up and everything. You come in here with new clothes on and stuff. What are you doing with your life? I know that car costs about $500-$600. Where are you getting the money from? Why you don't go to school and make something out of your life, huh? Look at all this jewelry and stuff you got on. No tennis shoe. I try to raise you right. But no, you go out there with your hooligan friend and do all kind of wrong. Won't you stay home and go to school and be right? I'm tired of this.
94 Revolution. I hit the loop juice, it pulls up in the deuce. He gives me the scoop about the fake ass truth and how niggas out there wanna play. I take another hit of the wet and then I blast away. How far, player? Far enough to go off the edge. I push another nigga off the ledge. So I stumble as I slide to the Chevy. Yeah, my eyes kinda teary and guns kinda heavy. I'm a walking dead man, is what they call me when I'm coming. Got the big ass on my chest, so I'm kinda gunning high. Powered on my way to the west side to check up on some chickens. It's a hell of a drive, so drive on. As I hit my dodo stick to the break of dawn, crime fighting's what I do. And niggas in my crew don't think lightly to you busters. And so we say fuck you, then fuck you
tuck you in for the night. As you think about the paper at the funeral site. So when I'm hanging with the clique and we in demand, I feel good that the city of angels call me Black Superman.
Inside the game with our very special guest. Man, you know, I have to tell y'all, y'all don't really understand. Doc, to me, is I know that and I feel that. I mean, hey, you know, that's my nigga, so I'm not going to even ask him a question. But, hey, you know, when he said that, it was like, that's real, because that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Man, that was our put your fist in the air.
That's right. Yeah.
That made us wake up, man. That became so many of us national anthem. It made
right.
Shaq put an S on his chest.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It made Snoop step up and say Snooperman. I mean, man. It and I still live by that trend. You did.
That's, right.
That's so motivating, man. When you because we do it for our mamas, we do it for our family, do it for our kids.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm an honorable discharge veteran. I'm a high
right.
school graduate. I'm a design drafting by trade. You know what I'm saying, man? The last time I had a physical job is when I got my honorable discharge at the United States Army and worked at the Long Beach Naval Shipyard. You understand me? Easy said, Orn, put that shit down and get that record shop, cuz.
Right.
I'm like, record shop, you know what I mean? And I kept that. And I remember he told me that, and the day I put him in the ground, I remember what he said. And I didn't know nothing about retail. I went and got me a record shop in Compton. Hutch, you know it, Shaquille, you know it because you was a
That's
part
right.
of that. And I am in this game behind what he said. And it
That's
was
right.
Hutch. It was Black Superman that motivated me because I sold plenty of those records out of my shop.
Right.
we go.
Man.
We gonna go to the phones real quick. We got two callers. I definitely want to get them in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, Don? What's up?
Yo, what's happening? What's happening with it? What's going on,
man? He's one of them young and up-and-coming artists, man. I've been trying to get him to call in and you.
Big.
So,
that's
you know,
big.
They drop these records and they don't really understand, you know, things that they got and what they want to do. And, you know, man, no better to ask than somebody who's done it before. Time
right.
and time again.
Yeah, absolutely,
ask
man.
Salute
straight up, you know, from the jump, man. Before I say anything, man, Mr. Cole 187, you dig? You know what I mean?
Oh, well, thank you, man.
Because,
appreciate
man,
it.
For real, dog. You know, I've been, Avery, I've been on your music, dude, like real talk. I won't, you know, sound like no groupie, bro, but, I mean, I've been on your music, bro, since, like, before I got out of high school, you know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right.
Tell them how they love them in N.O. Tell them.
Oh, man, look, let me tell you, like, real talk, real quick story, bro. All right, look, I was in, like, the 10th grade, something like that, bro. We went on a field trip to Jellystone Park and everything, you know. So we had big boom boxes back then and everything, bro.
Yeah.
Y'all music was hitting, you know what I'm saying? We on the back of the bus, bro. Everybody trying to get on our bus. We busting that murder rap, Untouchables, you know what I'm saying? It's like, boy, hey, bro, driving them folks crazy, you dig? But, man, hey, bro, for real, dog, man. That's like good memories for me, though, you
but
know
But I appreciate
what I'm
that, man. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
but hey, bro, what I want to ask, man, is like, how important is the production when it comes to like tracks and like the overall production when putting music out and what you want to put out and believe in what you put out? I mean,
it's a two part question. One is a creative question. One is an executive question. I'm gonna break the creative part down first. It's very important creatively because what has to happen is that it has to fit the artist. And from whatever is being produced has to have an essence to where people are going to actually be lured into the artist. Because people are like, oh, yeah, you know, the beat is bumping, but I ain't feeling the artist on it, but I like the beat. Well, that should never be – it should be an even thing. It should be a very healthy marriage. It should join – organically, perfect, you know what I mean? Perfect to where you don't even say that, like, yeah, dude, sound cool, and that beat kind of hitting. That's what you kind of want to hear, you know.
Okay.
They both have to bridge. They have to gel. They have to have an organic chemistry in order to happen, you know, for when people hear it. Now, that comes from the artist's perspective and a producer's perspective, them coming together creatively. And you have to be brutally really honest in, you know, as an artist and be like, I like that, but show me the vision. Or you have to be a person to say, like, I need XYZ from you as the producer. You know what I mean? Because it has to fit you as well. An artist has a voice. I always say, and me, I learned young as a producer, I don't want to bring my football to your basketball game. So I ask artists what they want first. You know what I'm saying? And I sit with them and we may hang out and go over shit and talk and, you know, they may tell me about songs that type of songs they want to do, and then I could bring them home. So it's very important for the producer to be in tune to what the artist wants instead of saying, check these 10 beats out, and if you find something in there, let's make something happen. You know,
right.
Once he talked to you and had a conversation, he might have something that's dark or fun or happy or clowning or sad or however you want it, but it has to be a healthy marriage, you know what I'm saying? And on the putting it out, you have to have, like I said earlier, it has to be a real product that people can actually grab and gravitate to and get into. It has to have a hook. I don't mean a hook to a song. The ideals of you as the particular artist, you have to have something that people can gravitate to and grab onto, you know.
Okay.
You can't just put things out because they're great ideas, you know. It has to be a complete product when you put it out. I don't care if it's out your trunk, out your mama bedroom window. I don't care if you produce it in the kitchen. It has to be a product. That's it. It's not where you do it. It's what you actually do, you know. A lot of things that we cut in the early days, like you talking about, you know, the murder raps, a lot of those things were done in 16 tracks and 8 tracks, and we just bumped up a 24 track before we put the record out. But the actual work was done in, you know, back alley, small-ass studios, you know what I'm saying, until we got to the point. But the ideas were the ideas, a lot of those vocals are roughs. A lot of those, you know, because we didn't have money like that. We didn't have, you know, all these different things that they have now where you can say, this is what I want. But back then we said that because we knew what was going to withstand everything is the quality of the product. you know.
Right.
So, he hit it on the point.
Wow.
Let me chime in on that. That's a good example is when Eric Eazy-E brought Bone from Cincinnati.
Absolutely, yeah.
He brought him to L.A. He called all his producers in and sent in beats, and then it was and he set Unique down with him. He set Unique down with him, and Unique talked and played something, and they heard that dark beat. They said, "We like that." He said,
"Exactly."
Like, darkness.
Yeah. Kitty McLeod created that whole whole aura of Bone. They created that dark, that dark crazy shit, which fit them. that fit them. I was more over the top producer. I could have produced them, but I was so overwhelmed with cocaine and Above the Law and doing him and HWA and all that. I couldn't do it. Yeah. So it was great because he put Bone with somebody that didn't have that workload.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Unique didn't have that workload, so they were able to create that beautiful marriage that we know nowadays is the sound of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And, hey, look,
it does,
really quick.
I mean, NWA had a sound. Above the Law had a sound. DOC had a sound. Bone had a sound. Yeah. Snoop had a sound. Everyone has a sound. So, and that's because of the healthy marriage between the producer and the artist, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's
P.E. had a sound. Chuck and Flav chemistry with Hank Shockley, you know, and the Shockley brothers, was it, you know. Organized Noise, that gives you the Outkast, the Goody Mob sound. Which produce that product. You understand what I'm saying? People keep failing with this. They want to get beats online and rap to them and say, that's product. That's a beat and rhyming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was, hey, you just answered my next question, man, because that's what I was just about to ask you. What do you think about the beats that's online that people go
that's
in?
That's great, but you as the artist and the guy that's producing your record, that take that beat that's been produced, you have to produce a product from that beat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rely on that beat and think that beat is going to take you this here, there, and here. You have to get in there and get the right hook down. You have to get in there and get the right essence of whatever that beat is giving you back. You know?
Yeah. Gotcha. Wow.
I want you guys to know I'm gonna try and bring Hutch back here some more because he's got so much more information to give you. We're about to run out of time in about a minute and a half and some change. I want y'all to, you know, tell people how to get a hold of you, Hutch. I definitely want people to get to
you know, anybody can get me, you know, on my Instagram is the real Cole 187 on Instagram. OG Big Hutch at Facebook, OG Big Hutch at Twitter. If anybody want to send some music, you send it to GFH Enterprises, the number 2@gmail.com. Or any ideas, any business ideas, whatever, just chop it up with me. Drop a line to me. It's all good. I'm open for it all, you know. And also, anybody who listen and follow Rock Boy Honeys all the time, hottest honeys on the planet, follow me. And that's it. I'm out of here, man. And God bless you, man. You know, thanks for having me.
Right.
You know,
before we bounce, I definitely want people to know, you know, we're going to be here. We're going to do what we got to do. Call in. Hit me up.
Oh, yeah, I'll be back, you know, because the Black Godfather finna drop the singles. The singles called Hustle Hard. It's with me, E-40, and Too Short. So
I need y'all to bang his box because we're trying to get him over here to do the sports show. He got my mouth watering for.
I'm still going
to
do it. I'm still
going to
do it.
Box.
It's coming. Barbershop Sports
bang
is coming.
His box,
let's go.
Man. I need
it's
y'all
coming.
To gangster him up on that box. But,
all right, Shaq, you stay on it. It's a funnel. It's a funnel.
He brought up an idea, and I love it, man. And I've been approached by a couple people, but that spot is his. So
I forgot about you. It's all good. Let's get it.
I know we got a couple things we're gonna talk about. I know you got that the G-Funk joints coming out. I definitely want to be involved with any of that we can do.
We got the Architects coming out, me and Cocaine, the Architects of G-Funk. We got, the Black Godfather coming out, which have everybody on it from Corrupt to Snoop to Dr. Dre to, to CeeLo Green to Gibb.
Yeah.
whoever you can name is going to be on the Black Godfather 1. So I'm back. I'll be back, man. And, you know, everybody stay in touch, man. You know?
And I want to ask you this on the air.
I want to ask y'all this on the air. In November, on this show, from the 11th through the 13th, we're going to definitely talk about hip-hop from then till now, which is the birthday of hip-hop. It'll be 45. So I definitely want y'all in on that roundtable that weekend. We're going to talk about, and I got ears, and a couple other people going to be calling from Germany. So we're going to try and make this where hip-hop was, where it is, and what we need to do. We're going to get into some serious conversation. I get back with you. It's going to be that weekend. But I definitely want all y'all to call in. And you know, this is our job. They don't understand what hip-hop is, so we got to teach them. With that,
that's right.
We're going to go with that. I'm going to definitely say this. You know, he may not come when you call, but he's always on time. And
that's
we'll
right.
be black next week.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? With that, we're going to definitely give a shout-out. Give a shout-out to, on this record, we definitely paying some props to two West Coast hip-hop legends, which is Frank KMG. So we got to do this. Hutch, introduce this song for me, brother, please.
Yeah, let's get into it, man. It's called Call It What You Want. It's me, Tupac, Money B, and my man, my brother, man. I miss you every day. KMG, man, let's go get it. Call It What You Want from the Black Mafia Life.
We out.
Peace.
Now ended the question. Who's the black trying? Now you know the reason for the black mafia theory. Yes, it has many meanings, but no matter how you define it, it still comes out black. See, it's just a head trip, so you can call it what you want.
Now I clown around when I hang around with the underground, but when I'm with the mafia, I'm dropping. And if you're holding, I'll be knocking you. Baby, why not? You're sitting jockey because I'm popular. I love the pop, the cops get shot. They shouldn't talk about the monster. Tupac, I'm back, I'm punching, pump the trunk. I'm bumping G4, but you can call it what you want. How many times I gotta tell you, don't ignore. Either be my whole or hit the door, you nothing. Oh, see it. That's why I love to go on tour, G. Stores a whore behind the door, nigga. Know that. I'm sipping on the 40. So you can call it what you want. About the bucket, nigga.
Well, I am the danger, similar to a killer. I walk around.